by the crowds of people, the priest who sing your praise.
Hello, my name is Shane Eidelman, and I'm the pastor of Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California. It is my personal heart and goal for you to see truth through a biblical perspective. I hope that you enjoy this segment of Eidelman Unplugged.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Eidelman Unplugged. My name is Luke Duncan, and I'm your host here with Pastor Shane Eidelman. Pastor, welcome.
Welcome. Good to be here.
We're in a time right now where we're going to have tough talks with people. You know, and as Christians, I mean, we're going to be put in positions where we're going to have tough talks with people.
Yeah, true.
And that's for a variety of reasons. That could be with regards to the civil unrest we're dealing with. It could be with regards to the pandemic that we're a part of. It could be with regards to the current sin issues of our generation that are kind of longstanding at this point. But
right.
But for whatever the case may be, if you name the name of Christ sincerely and you live a life that is surrendered to him to the best of your ability, you're going to be put in positions where you have hard conversations with people. So, Shane, when the time comes that those conversations have to happen, how do we confront somebody in love?
Wow. Well, there's a lot of different scenarios. So it depends on what the listener is thinking for their own situation. But let's just assume, you know, in the church or friendships or different things. Well, a couple things. We don't want to be quick to confront. We want to be slow to speak, quick to listen. I mean, I look back on my life, especially the last 10 years of planting the church, and there's so many times I said, oh, thank God I didn't confront. Oh, just let that kind of work out, you know, sometimes. But I'd say the vast majority of the time, when you don't confront, the problem only magnifies. And we have to remember that confronting is speaking the truth in love. However, like Jesus said, you have to remove the huge log from your eye first, which means you have to look at yourself. Am I being judgmental? Am I being arrogant? Am I just wanting to be right? And you really get yourself in a spot of brokenness and humility and, you know, and just, okay. And if it's still something you need to discuss, something you need, you know, it's bothering you, then you can go to your brother and you can say, so the question that came in, how do I confront? Well, you got to do it. There's no easy answer. But I usually say, hey, there's just some things I want to go over with you. Do you have some time? And you kind of, you know, you just, you know, share your heart about it. I know it's not your heart, but here's how you're coming across. And so you season your words with grace. And the whole point for me is restoration. Mm-hmm. You know, if we switch now to church confrontation, you know, I would say there's not a month that goes by in the last 10 years that we don't have to confront someone, you know, about something mm-hmm. pertaining to any type of situation you can imagine, from their attitude to how they conduct themselves to what they said. But the whole point is restoration, or the whole point, my goal is their spiritual growth. And you can see, this is very clear that those who grow spiritually and they're mature, they are the ones who have been open for constructive feedback, and those, they've been teachable. But then you can see the ones who become very defensive, like, you know, nope, that's not true. They're gossiping. My favorite, here we go. The devil is after me. The devil's trying to attack me. Demons are coming against me. No, not necessarily. You need to work on your pride and your arrogance. You need to humble yourself. This is not the devil. Don't say the devil made you do it. Don't say the devil's working behind the scenes. He might be. For example, people say the devil's after my marriage. And no, they're just a mean spouse. The devil's after my finances. Well, no, you just spend all your money. You don't budget. And so we can't keep blaming the devil, even though the demonic realm was working all this.
Actually, you got to have proof if Satan's coming after you.
Yeah. Well, actually, the demonic realm is working
through your choice,
through your pride. Because anytime you are prideful and arrogant and blame shifting, you open yourself up to, I believe, the working of demonic types of influence who can plant those fiery darts and things. So how to confront is, of course, if it's something that needs to be immediately confronted, then you need to immediately confront it. For example, if, you know, if there's child abuse issues or something. You know, you can't, well, let me just pray about it for 6 months. You know, you got to confront it. So you don't pray about it for 6 months. You got to confront that. But other things you can, like, for example, let me just try to think of the last time we had to do this at the church or some, you know, I prayed about it. Lord, you know, show me, give me some confirmation. Is this just me or is it them? And I believe God's always honored this prayer for me. He's gave me confirmation. For example, there's a person we needed to confront in the past. And as I'm praying for confirmation, I got an email from a good member, you know, member's been coming a while. They're like, hey, can I talk to you about this person? Then I got a call from someone else. Can I talk to you about this? I'm like, okay, well, this isn't just me. This needs to be confronted. Thank you, Lord, for showing me. And we confront. But if it's a family member, you know, I've had family members, you know, not close family, but distant, you know, nieces, nephews, uncles, cousins, whatever. And, you know, I would call them on things. Hey, this attitude is not right. The way you're treating our nation, the way you're talking about our president, it's just not right. You know, I can't endorse this. I can't, you need to be lovingly confronted. Of course, they just blow up and you hypocrite and this and that. I'm like, well, I'm just telling you, I'm speaking the truth in love. And so my rule is this, doesn't need to be confronted because not everything needs to be confronted, right? Mm-hmm. Every time you're offended by, if I was confronting everyone who offended me, I would be confronting people every single day because I get offended on a daily basis like most people do. They didn't call me. They didn't say that. They didn't invite me to their prayer meeting. They didn't invite me to their potluck. They, you know, all this, a lot of this is silly. So that's the first thing I do. Is this something that needs to be confronted? Okay. Yeah, I think it is, especially a sin issue. If somebody's in sin and they're not repenting, you know, okay, Lord, give me the strength, give me the wisdom. Would you confirm with me? Lord, would you open the door? And sometimes when I've prayed that, you know, and been fervent about prayer for, let's say, a week or so, that person actually call me because now they're miserable in their sin. So now I can speak into their lifestyle instead of confronting them about their lifestyle. Does that make sense? Because when you have to confront them, here comes the block walls being built, yeah. You know, but when they call you saying, hey, I'm really having a tough time now, then now they give you permission to speak into their life. So I'm very strategic about it. I let God soften hearts. I ask him for confirmation. I think depends if you're the type of person like me, if you're a type A personality, you need to step on the brakes, you know, and not confront as much. And another sure sign that you're on the wrong page is if you're excited about confronting and if you can't wait to confront and if you relish in confronting, your heart's not right. And there's some people out there that are just, they love to confront. They love to show you how much knowledge they have. And they're just arrogant. It makes me sick. So that type of person needs to be really checking themselves. But then there's others, you know, Passive Patty or what's another good one here I can think of quickly? Non-confrontational
Silent
Carmen.
Silent Sally.
Silent Sally. I like that one. Those type of people need to step on the gas pedal. And they need to... Lord, I know I need to talk to them. Give me the boldness to confront, open that door. And so they're kind of opposites how God has wired us. And sometimes he puts a marriage together like he put our marriage together with me and Morgan. I'm more the, you know, I know people will be surprised by this, but I'm more the bold, you know, kind of outspoken one.
No.
Right, yeah. And she's more of the, nope. Let's just say nothing and hope it fixes itself, which is a great balance. I mean, can you imagine two of me? You know, be like, wow, we're upsetting everybody. But then which you two of her, then we'd probably be, what's right. We'd probably be the...
You'd have a lot of parties to be invited to.
Yeah. We'd probably be the pavement and not the steamroller. So it's you have to be a steamroller when the pavement needs... paving. For example, when you lay down asphalt on a road, the steamroller, what does it do? It steamrolls, it flattens it out. But you don't need a steamroller if it's already flattened. You're that's what they say in life. You're either the steamroller or you're the pavement. But I think, you know, that flip flops. Sometimes you need to lovingly confront. I think there's a lot of parents out there listening that
steamrollers go very slow.
That's too. Ooh, that was a good one, Luke. They are. They're pretty slow. Even on high gear, they're slow. You could run faster than a steamroller. But parents, You know, two types of parents. Some of you need to stop preaching to your kids. You need to stop leaving verses on post-it notes on their door or on their mirror. You need to stop quoting scripture. You need to stop texting them scripture. You need to stop acting mean and arrogant and better than thou. And, you know, this whole thing, you got to stop that because you're pushing them away from God. What you need to do is be broken yourself. And I would even apologize. Say, guys, I love you so much. I love God's word so much that I've probably been forcing it down your throat. And I apologize for that. I'm just going to love you. I'm going to love you through this. And boy, you watch God work in that. Man, that's powerful because they already know how you believe. But for them to watch you now show them grace and love, it's powerful. But then there's other parents who are just let Johnny come on in with the Jack Daniels and his girlfriend and stay the night and enable. That's called an enabler. They allow their children to allow them to continue in sin. Mom, I'm out of money. Okay, here's $500 again. Well, they just go and blow it on heroin or a weekend in Las Vegas. And that's not good either. You need to actually speak the truth in love and begin being that voice of reason in their life. Yeah, they're not going to like you. Of course not. They're going to be upset with you. No, nowhere in scripture will you ever find a hint that parents are supposed to be best friends with their kids. That's actually impossible. Now they can be friends. They can go out and do things. They can love the time with each other. They can want to live close to them. But ultimately that parent's role is to shape their character and point them in the right direction. That be that voice of truth, that voice of conscience, and point them in the direction that God has called them to go.
I think that's something to remember for people that are in a position of confrontation. Regardless of whether it's reluctantly or eagerly, I think one of the most important things to do is, and of course, like you said, if we're dealing with a really blatant sin issue where other people are going to get hurt right away, this is going to be limited in its application just because of time. But I think for most things, if you can walk a mile in the person's shoes before you confront them, that will be extremely helpful.
Oh, that's a great point. Because when you see where they're coming from.
Yes.
Because I was not to, I like go back to this thought, but I just happened to me recently. I was going to confront someone until I heard what's going on in their life. You know, they lost their job. Lost their job, and their parents totally disowned them, and they're going through a very, very difficult time. So I'm like, oh, praise God, that would have not been the right time. Mm-hmm. They need a friend more than a confronter. Amen. So anyway, Amen. Back to your topic.
No. But yeah, that's true, because empathy is one of those qualities that we have as Christians that needs to be different from the world. And it needs to be on another level from just worldly empathy. So, you know, when you talk to somebody, really, the way I like to articulate it, and I usually in the classroom setting, I articulate it from the apologetics perspective. But one of the things that I like to tell people that are asking me about these types of things is that, can you articulate your opponent's position as if they were saying it themselves? And so if you're going to if you're going to confront somebody, can you genuinely anticipate what they would say before you ever get into the conversation with them? And when I say anticipate, not just intellectually, but can you actually feel the burdens on their heart? And can you see from their perspective the logic and the reasons for why they're making the decisions that they're making? It doesn't mean that they're right, but it does mean that your words are going to carry a lot more weight if you have that disposition going into a conversation. The other thing that I would say too is be willing to leave a little skin in the game, because as a Christian, when you confront somebody, it's never just to alienate somebody. It's actually to, like you said, restore or to build up. And, you know, this isn't a confrontation scenario specifically that I'm going to make mention of, but I can remember on one of the youth retreats that we had recently in town, I had a youth that came to me, and trusts me as a confidant, but came to me talking about his struggles with pornography and his struggles with fornication, or not necessarily sexual intercourse, but sexual behaviors with a girl from his school. And he was asking, you know, for help and everything like that. And so in that moment, are you willing to be an intercessor for that person? Are you willing to go before God and to plead before God for that person's forgiveness and their change in the spirit? But also, are you willing to jump into that situation? Especially if you're going to confront somebody, say, "Hey, look, I see this. This is something that needs to be dealt with. Here's how I can help you."
Right.
And in that instance, are you willing to put yourself out there and be a resource for that person? Because the last thing that you want, and this is how people get burned out of the church, is people get confronted, but they get no help. There's no open hand that comes along with confrontation. So what that gets perceived as is it gets perceived as just disingenuous discipline. And these people don't really want to have a relationship with me. They don't really care about me. They just want me to live the same lifestyle that they're living. So be willing to leave a little skin in the game and to help that person go in the right direction if you believe that there is a situation that warrants confrontation.
Right. Perfect. That's a good way to lead it. Leave it. I think leave the discussion.
That's a good way to confront it.
Yeah, it's a good way to confront it. So I think, I mean, the main takeaways are don't be in a hurry unless you have, you know, this is a big issue. Don't be in a hurry. Take it to God in prayer first. Get your heart right first. Remove the plank. Ask for confirmation and seek to actually build up the person and restore them and help them mature. Amen. Versus telling them off. Amen. And sometimes parents need to just pray for them and love them. I've seen so many parents. I mean, I haven't mastered this either, but so many parents cause a lot of damage by forcing Christ down their throat when they're not yet ready. Mm-hmm. And just be Christ. Amen. You know, don't force scripture down them. They've heard enough of it. But in some cases, quote scripture to them, text scripture to them. I'm not saying that. You need to use discernment and wisdom.
Yeah. And the Holy Spirit will give that.
Yep. Amen.
He absolutely will.
Tune into the next one. You're going to want to miss the next topic either. I'm not going to tell you what it is.
That's it, man. So you got to listen onto the next episode of Idleman Unplugged to figure out what that topic is. But in the meantime, if you have something that you would like us to talk about, be sure to send us an email at westsidechristianfellowship.org or shaneidleman.com, and we'll set aside an episode to talk about it. We thank you for listening to us today. Again, my name is Luke Duncan, and I'm your host here with Pastor Shane Idleman. Join us again on the next episode of Idleman Unplugged.
Thank you for listening to Idleman Unplugged. For more information, visit us at shaneidleman.com. Again, that's shaneidleman.com. El Paseo Publications proudly supports the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network. We are committed to quality in Christian publication. Free ebooks can be found at westsidechristianfellowship.org under free ebooks. Books such as What Works for Men and What Works for Young Adults will help readers understand that the obstacles ahead are never greater than God's power to take you through. Books such as What Works When Diets Don't and Feasting and Fasting demonstrate how health can be achieved from a biblical perspective. Other free books such as Answers for a Confused Church and Desperate for More of God show the importance of fully surrendering our lives to Christ. And One Nation Above God is a must read for anyone concerned about the direction of America. Again, free downloads of these ebooks are available at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We are happy about partnering with the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network.